Welcome to day 154 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are going to embark on the book of Proverbs. This is one of the most amazing books in the Bible. It provides such practical wisdom for everyday life through the eyes of the Lord and the wisdom of Almighty God. And King Solomon is considered to be the author of the book of Proverbs, as he had composed literally thousands of Proverbs, according to 1 Kings chapter 4, where it states that he authored 3,000 Proverbs. But we can see as we are reading through this book that there are some other authors that contributed, and perhaps Solomon collected some Proverbs from other authors. But essentially, Proverbs is considered a general work of King Solomon, sharing the wisdom that he had received from the Lord. Today we will read Proverbs chapters 1, 2, and 3 from the Amplified Bible, and then tomorrow we will continue with the next three chapters in Proverbs, and we'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, so you can hear the difference between the two versions very clearly, as today you'll hear a little more expansion on the themes presented in these chapters of Proverbs. I believe you'll enjoy and receive much from this reading of the book of Proverbs. Pay close attention to the first chapter, as the first seven verses kind of presents a prologue to the entire book of Proverbs and gives the purpose for which Proverbs was written. So beginning at Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The Proverbs, truths obscurely expressed, maxims and parables of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, that people may know skillful and godly wisdom and instruction, discern and comprehend the words of understanding and insight, receive instruction in wise dealing and the discipline of wise thoughtfulness, righteousness, justice, and integrity, that prudence may be given to the simple, and knowledge, discretion, and discernment to the youth. The wise also will hear and increase in learning, and the person of understanding will acquire skill and attain to sound counsel, so that he may be able to steer his course rightly. That people may understand a proverb and a figure of speech, or an enigma with its interpretation, and the words of the wise in their dark sayings or riddles. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Reject not nor forsake the teaching of your mother. For they are a victor's chaplet, garland of grace upon your head, and chains and pendants of gold worn by kings for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, "Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause and show that his piety is in vain. Let us swallow them up alive as does Sheol, the place of the dead, and whole as those who go down into the pit of the dead. We shall find and take all kinds of precious goods when our victims are put out of the way. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, they insist, and be a sworn brother and comrade. Let us all have one purse in common. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Restrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. But when these men set a trap for others, they are lying in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy of gain. Such greed for plunder takes away the lives of its possessors. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the markets. She cries at the head of the noisy intersections, in the chief gathering places. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, open to evil, will you love being simple? And the scoffers delight in scoffing, and self-confident fools hate knowledge. If you will turn, repent, and give heed to my reproof, behold, I, wisdom, will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called, and you have refused to answer, and have stretched out my hand, and no man has heeded it, and you treated as nothing all my counsel, and would accept none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when the thing comes that shall cause you terror and panic, when your panic comes as a storm and desolation, and your calamity comes on as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, wisdom, but I will not answer. They will seek me early and diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, would accept none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be satiated with their own devices. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them, and the careless ease of self-confident fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkens to me, wisdom, shall dwell securely and in confident trust, and shall be quiet without fear or dread of evil. Chapter 2. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to skillful and godly wisdom, and inclining and directing your heart and mind to understanding, applying all your powers to the quest for it. Yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek wisdom as for silver and search for skillful and godly wisdom as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of our omniscient God. For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He hides away sound and godly wisdom and stores it for the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with Him. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity, that He may guard the paths of justice. Yes, He preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and fair dealing in every area and relation. Yes, you will understand every good path. For skillful and godly wisdom shall enter into your heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant to you. Discretion shall watch over you. Understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil and the evil men, from men who speak perverse things and are liars, men who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, who are crooked in their ways, wayward and devious in their paths. Discretion shall watch over you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the alien woman, from the outsider with her flattering words, who forsakes the husband and guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return again, neither do they attain or regain the paths of life. So may you walk in the way of good men, and keep to the paths of the consistently righteous, the upright in right standing with God. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the men of integrity, blameless and complete in God's sight, shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. Chapter 3. My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of a life worth living, and tranquility, inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness, and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow, and moistening to your bones. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruits of all your income. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. My son, do not despise or shrink from the chastening of the Lord, His correction by punishment or by subjection to suffering or trial. Neither be weary of or impatient about or loathe or abhor His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences. For the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit of it better than fine gold. Skillful and godly wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can wish for is to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are highways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold on her. And happy, blessed, fortunate, to be envied, is everyone who holds her fast. The Lord, by skillful and godly wisdom, has founded the earth. By understanding, He has established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies distill the dew. My son, let them not escape from your sight, but keep sound and godly wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your inner self and a gracious ornament to your neck, your outer self. Then you will walk in your way securely and in confident trust, and you shall not dash your foot or stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden terror and panic, nor of the stormy blast or the storm and ruin of the wicked when it comes, for you will be guiltless. For the Lord shall be your confidence, firm and strong, and shall keep your foot from being caught in a trap or some hidden danger. Withhold not good from those to whom it is due, its rightful owners, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come again, and tomorrow I will give it," when you have it with you. Do not contrive or dig up or cultivate evil against your neighbor, who dwells trustingly and confidently beside you. Content not with a man for no reason, when he has done you no wrong. Do not resentfully envy and be jealous of an unscrupulous, grasping man, and choose none of his ways. For the perverse are an abomination, extremely disgusting and detestable to the Lord. But his confidential communion and secret counsel are with the uncompromisingly righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with him. The curse of the Lord is in and on the house of the wicked, but he declares blessed, joyful, and favored with blessings, the home of the just and consistently righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers and scorns the scorners, yet he gives his undeserved favor to the low in rank, the humble, and the afflicted. The wise shall inherit glory, all honor, and good, but shame is the highest rank conferred on self-confident fools. This is the end of today's scripture reading. The book of Proverbs opens with a prologue in the first 7 verses that gives us the very clearly stated purpose for the writing of this particular book of the Bible. It's written that these Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, were written down so that people would know skillful and godly wisdom and instruction and learn discernment and comprehend understanding and receive instruction in wise dealings for life, and prudence may be given to the simple. So we have this like list given to us in these first 7 verses, and it all gets down to, you could say, the cornerstone of the entire book, which is found in the 7th verse. And it is stated very beautifully here. And in the Amplified translation, it reads, "The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline." This 7th verse, in essence, tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning, it's the starting place. And you could say it this way: without a fear of God, you will never end up in a place of wisdom. You will never walk in wisdom. You will never have wisdom. You will not have the wisdom that is spoken of here in the book of Proverbs and in the Bible in general. There is a wisdom that comes from God alone, the one who is omniscient, which is all-knowing, knows everything, knows the future, knows the past, knows the present, knows circumstances that we can't even see with our natural understanding or natural eyes. So there is this opportunity from God, stated here in the book of Proverbs, to obtain and take hold of literally the wisdom of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom that comes from God. It's available to the person who seeks after it, but it only will be given, and its starting place to obtain it is this thing called the fear of the Lord. Now, that word fear brings up many different types of thoughts to us who deal in the English language, because the Hebrew, the original language in which Proverbs was written, has this word. There's different words that have been translated into the word fear in the Bible. Now, we know that when we think of fear, we have people who are fear dying in a plane crash every time they get on a plane, or I'm in Africa right now, and there's definitely parts of East Africa where if you're walking in the bush, you could easily fear that you might be attacked by a lion or another wild animal. These are fears, fears of dying, fears of being injured or hurt in some way, but that's not the fear that's meant here in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord, and the word that is translated to fear in English, actually has a different meaning altogether. It is a fear that connotes, and I'm quoting from W.E. Vine's complete expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words. And he states, and he is a scholar in the ancient languages, he says that this fear connotes standing in awe. Not a simple fear, but a reverence, whereby an individual recognizes the power and the position of the individual revered and renders him proper respect. So the idea here is that the fear of the Lord is a very deep and intense respect, awe, and reverence for God, and that this is where wisdom begins. If you have an awe, a reverence, such a deep respect for someone, then the counsel that that person gives you would be held in high regard by you. If you happen to think this is one of the wisest people I've ever met who deals in business matters, then your regard for the words that that person speaks about matters of business will be very high, and you will be inclined to follow the counsel given by that person. So it is with the Lord. If you have a very deep reverence, respect, and awe for God, then you will fear to even consider any other path of action than that which God would direct. So if you do have a deep respect and awe for God, then that is the beginning of wisdom, because then you're only pursuing, what would God say about this? What would God tell me to decide about this situation? If you can remember back to the book of Exodus, a certain scene that we read about in Exodus chapter 20, and it was the place where God was speaking to the Israelites on the Mount of Sinai. You might recall there was thunder and lightning and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain was smoking, and it was really a fearful sight to the Israelites, and they were quite afraid and they were trembling. But Moses spoke to them because God had spoken to him. And Moses said, "Don't be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you so that you may not sin." Now, he said two things. He literally used two different words that imply fear. The first one being, do not be afraid. He didn't want them to be trembling in fear of their lives, terrorized, so to speak, by God. But he did want them to have a fear of God that remained with them so that they would not sin. So what did that mean? There was a difference between the two types of fears that are spoken of in this verse in Exodus 20:20. Do not be afraid. Don't be in terror of God, but God wants you to have a fear of him that remains with you so that you might not sin. God wanted the Israelites, and he wants us, to have such a reverence and an awe and a respect for God that remains with us at all times, that we wouldn't dare to sin against God. We would think, dear God, I can't do that because it would so offend the Lord. It would so hurt my God, my Father in heaven. So it keeps us from sin because we have such an honor and a respect and an awe for God. And this is the type of fear of God that the Lord wants us to have, that is quite literally the beginning of wisdom. Because if you have that type of reverence for the Lord, you will always continuously, with every decision in life, every situation you face, every circumstance that comes along your path, be driven to seek the Lord for the answer, for the proper decision to be made. And that is a sign of wisdom in itself, that you're going to the source of all wisdom for your guidance and your counsel. And we know that as a person matures in the Lord and they face circumstances and God gives them guidance and direction, the longer they go in life walking that type of a path, the wiser they become, because they have weathered storms with the wisdom of God directing them. They have gone through tragedy and come out triumphant on the other side with the wisdom of God guiding them. And then they are able to turn around and give wisdom, counsel, and knowledge to other people because they have lived a life that reflects a fear of the Lord, an awe, a reverence of the Lord that has caused them to continually go to the Lord for counsel and wisdom and have not sought the world as their place of counsel. I want to end our devotional time by reading to you a few verses from the third chapter of Proverbs that you heard just a few minutes ago. And let this be what remains with you from this reading of Scripture today. And it's there are two verses, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that were among the very first Bible verses I ever memorized as a new believer. And I was guided to do so by the wisdom of some other godly person. And I would recommend it for you. If you've never memorized Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, this would be a great memory verse for you, whether you're an adult or a child, because this will stay with you for life and guide you well. So Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 reads this way in the Amplified Bible. It says, "Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths." We all want God to direct and make our path straight. We need that every single day. So here's the key to doing it. Lean on and be confident in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. God wants that for your life. I'm sure you want that for your life, to have the wisdom of God directing you day and night, and it will be a blessing to your life. It will make you a blessing to many people. And continuously being in a state of mind where you're leaning on God instead of on your own understanding, instead of on your own insight, even if you have an advanced degree from the best university in the land, you will be wiser to lean on the Lord's wisdom, which is above and beyond any natural wisdom or knowledge that can be gained, though there's nothing essentially wrong with education unless it's based on an anti-God premise, which unfortunately today there are education systems that start from an anti-theist viewpoint or an atheistic viewpoint. But overall, I want you to know I think that education is important for people, but beyond education, there is wisdom. Beyond the knowledge of how the world operates, there's a wisdom that is higher level than that, and that is from the Lord Himself, the creator of the universe. So if you will become that person who leans on, trusts in, and is confident in the Lord, and doesn't rely on their own understanding or insight, but in all your ways you acknowledge and you pursue God, then He directs your path, you will absolutely walk in a higher level of wisdom than any person around you. And this will be clearly demonstrated in your life. To me, one of the most outstanding illustrations of this principle is found in the life of George Washington Carver, famous scientist, botanist, educator, who was an African-American man born into slavery, who after slavery was abolished was raised by a German-American couple who are immigrants and was able to go to school and get an education, and who eventually became a professor at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. He was a genius, without a doubt. In fact, George Washington Carver developed over 100 products just from the peanut. He researched and he worked very hard in his laboratory to discover uses for the very simple peanut. And yet, if you read about his life, and there's an awesome biography called Unshakable Faith that documents his spiritual life as well as his scientific exploits, it will clearly tell you the story of how George Washington Carver, though he was absolutely a gifted scientist, he told about himself that his relationship with God and his daily time of prayer and seeking God to give him revelation about his creation, about plants, and about different things that God had created, that was the source of the wisdom that he had that was then translated into the practical outpouring of his life, which he was such a great contributor to agricultural practices that changed everything in the South. He was the one that instituted the principle of crop rotation in order that the ground would produce more because of increased nitrogen by changing the different types of crops that were planted each year. The man was a genius for certain, but he completely gave the credit to the Lord that God would give him insight into the things that God had made, and then that practically translated into a life's work that was a benefit and a blessing to the whole earth. God wants to do that kind of thing in your life. Whatever you do, God wants to give you his wisdom so that what your life's work becomes a blessing to many because you receive the wisdom of God and you're not leaning on your own knowledge base, your own understanding, or your own IQ for that matter. So let's take today's reading to heart and keep an attitude of reverence and awe for the Lord so that we seek the Lord for his wisdom and he will give it to you and you will become a blessing to many. Have a victorious week. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page for My Everyday Bible and share My Everyday Bible with your Facebook friends, and I also will invite you to our website, www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you can find other resources, many Bible teachings, audio teachings on many different subjects that I believe will be a blessing.